Good to see each one of you, and we continue our look-see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the summary of the gospel and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a contingent there at Corinth that say that there is no resurrection of the dead, and the apostle, he deals with that issue. He knows that that issue is at hand, and so he starts off in this chapter in dealing with the issue of those that would say that there's no resurrection of the children of God. He starts off with the gospel, and the gospel ends with the resurrection of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for our sakes. And so, that being the case, the number of witnesses that saw him alive. So there's a confirmation by hundreds that saw him alive. And so, and then he goes on in the chapter and he says, now, if we preach that Christ rose from the dead, how can you say that his children will not rise from the dead? He said, they're synonymous. They're connected. They're the same. If Christ has not risen, his children will not rise. If the dead don't rise, then Christ is not risen. But we know Christ is risen. That's the argument that he makes. And so he goes on here. He says, this is so serious that we're found, if this is the case, our preaching is vain, number 14. If Christ is not risen from the dead, it's vanity, it's emptiness to preach. Our faith in Christ is hollow, is vain. We're found to be liars, false witnesses of God, verse number 15. And so then he says there about how interconnected they are, about the dead rising and Christ raising. And then he says in verse number 18, if this is the case, verse 17, you're yet in your sins if Christ is not risen. The gospel was not completed if Christ is not risen. We know that he did. There's witnesses. He said, then they which are dead in Christ, fallen asleep, as the terminology of the scripture in our Lord, then they are perished. And then regarding our hope, if Christ is not risen and we do not rise, if we only have hope in Christ in this life, we are of men most miserable. And those expounding this doctrine there amongst the church, indeed, were probably miserable folks. they most likely were. And so he talks about how it is that Christ is the first to raise from the dead. He's the first fruits, and then those that are Christ, when he comes back again, he'll deliver the kingdom up unto God. He must reign. Everything is going to be put under his feet, even that of death. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. How is death destroyed? By the resurrection. By the living again. By our Lord having died for our sakes, and then took his life back again. He goes, he enters into death, and has abolished death for his people. He holds the keys of not only life, but of death. And so all things must be subservient to him. It'll all be subdued and subject, and then he'll give the kingdom unto God, the Father, if you will. And then why do we baptize, he asks. I think there's a couple of ways that we can take this and apply it or consider it. And the wording here is kind of tough to get a hold of. But why are we baptized? Why do we symbolize burial above those who are buried? We do that in baptism. We symbolize burial above where people are normally buried. Why? Because Christ is risen. We are made new creatures in Christ. And then he talks about his personal death daily, dying to self and to the will and being alive and to the will of the Lord and the things that he suffered for the elect's sake. He says, watch your communication. Watch who you communicate with, because it'll corrupt you. And look at the witness that you have to others, verse number 34. Not everybody has the knowledge of God. So you got to be careful what you're spouting off and what you're telling about. Because, listen, you don't have evidence from the Lord and from the Scriptures that there is no resurrection of the dead, because there is the resurrection of the Lord and there is the resurrection of his people. He said, you should have grown up by now. Then there's this argument some had that said, well, in what body? Well, consider all the flesh of the earth. the creatures of the earth, the substance of those things terrestrial, the substance of those things celestial. God can make us a body like Christ. He made a body for the Lord Jesus. He gave us a physical body here. He gives all the creatures in the creation their bodies and substance. He can make a body for us. The picture here is told about how it is. The resurrection of the dead is sown in corruption, verse number 42, but raised in incorruption. It's just like the planting is that we're experiencing here in our region. The seed looks nothing like the plant, but it came from the plant, and it goes into the earth. And the Lord said, every kernel of wheat must die to itself that it might bring forth life and new fruit. It always brings an abundance. And it doesn't, you don't plant what you get, you plant the seed. And so it is, the seed is planted, and by the miracle of God, life comes from within and His working and with the water and with the heat and all that. And that old husk of that seed, that jacket of that seed is just left for fertilizer. But somehow there is life there from the Lord. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor. We talked about that, about the strength of youth and the lack of strength of becoming senior and elderly. But it's raised in glory, glory like Christ. Sown in weakness indeed, but raised in power. Indeed, a spiritual body, a natural body we have now, a spiritual body we'll have then, and the saints have now. He said, then he talks about Adam. The first Adam was made a living soul, and a reference over here verse number 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. He is, when the Lord says, I'll give you everlasting life. He really means it. And he said that he came that his children might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And man, abundantly is a big summary word for all the wonderful things that the Lord gives us in life. The second Adam, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. The quickening of the Lord. We see that evidenced by what our Lord teaches us in John chapter 5 about his ability to give life in all respects. He says, the first was not spiritual in verse 46, but the second. He said, the natural first, that's where we're at now, the spiritual is going to come next, that glorified body like Christ. We are earthy, but the second man is the Lord from heaven, and he will make us. We'll be partakers of the heavenly, won't we? We're not that. So now, we have that within, the earnest of the Spirit. We have a taste of the heavenly within, but in that day, we will have a full salvation, even our bodies saved, and we will be partakers of the heavenly. We've borne the image of the earthly, verse 49, we'll bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, verse 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. Flesh and blood can't inherit it. We've seen on Wednesday evenings, we can't stand in this flesh, we couldn't stand to stand before the Lord. It'd burn us up. We're so fraught and filled with sin, and this old skin, this old muscle, this old bone, and that. We're just riddled with sin. But we'll have a body that we can stand in the presence of the Lord. A body that will be able to withstand the glory, the brilliant shining of the glory of the Lord. It'll melt away and burn away all the dross and the wood, hay, and stubble, and we will shine forth. It tells us there in Hebrews 10 that we've taken a look at recently. It'll burn away the wood, hay, and it'll burn away the wood, hay, and stubble. It would devour the adversaries, but not us. We'll be like our Lord Jesus. We'll be able to be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, all for our blessing and our betterment. We'll be like the angels, the Lord Jesus tells us. Flesh and blood cannot inherit that. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. He says, and then verse number 51, where we are this evening, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die physically, but we shall all be changed. We'll all be changed. He's speaking of that we see in the book of Thessalonians, the 2 Thessalonians, where it talks about the resurrection of the Lord. It's right in parallel with it. Listen to what he says. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Whether in the grave, it tells us over there, he writes to the Thessalonica church, he says, whether they be in the grave, tell you what, they're going to come first. They're going to raise first. They're going to have a body like Christ. And indeed, like it was there, I'm of the opinion that the graves will break forth open. They will break open just like the graves did there at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the resurrection of our Lord was such there that where he was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, that glory, that power of the resurrection of the Lord spread to where even some of the saints that were there buried around that site raised from the dead also. So that's the power of the resurrection. The Lord, not that the Lord was struggling to do anything, but even keeping it down, there were those that were affected even in that day. That third day, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, there were the saints that rose from the dead from that graveyard and went into the city and were seen. Because that's the power of the resurrection. And when the Lord turns that loose upon the earth, His saints will come forth. We shall all be changed in a moment, a twinkling an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Those that are alive and remain will be changed too. I've been asked questions about that. I've talked with that with brothers and sisters about how's that going to be? How's that going to be? Are we just going to... Will we die in a moment, in an instant, and then be changed like that? Well, I'll tell you what, this flesh will be done, however the Lord does it. Our brothers and sisters that have been buried, their bodies have gone back to the dust of the earth, just like the Lord from whence we were taken. But we that are alive and remain, those that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord Jesus, this old flesh will go away, and the new body will be had, will be given by the Lord. Oh, what a wondrous thing to hear the trump. To hear the trump and to see the Lord Jesus. And when we see Him, we'll be like Him. It will have happened in that twinkling of an eye. That's a promise and hope that we have. Where would we be if we didn't have that? Take that away. Take that away from us. What do we have? Well, the brother declared it. We'd be of men most miserable if we didn't have that hope. We would never experience a total rescue from the impact and effects of sin upon us. We're going to be resurrected. The dead will, and the those that are alive will be changed to live that abundant life eternally with our Lord without sin. There is a time coming that we will live without sin, brothers and sisters. We will be. You that are here and not saved, do you not hear that? That's what you need. That's what you should desire. That is the hope that our Lord has given us. It's a hope that can only be had through the Lord Jesus as Savior. There may seem like there's a future here, but there is no future here. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written in Isaiah 25, death is swallowed up in victory. Our brothers and sisters died at the appearing of the Lord. Those that are alive and remain, this old flesh in an instant dies, and the new, the incorruptible, is clothed upon the saint. Where's death? Where's death? What impact does death have? For us that live on this earth, we know from our loved ones and our friends and our families and those that are near and dear to us, those that we work with, those that we live down the street from us, we know that death has a lasting grip. There's nothing we can do to undo it, is there? When they died, there was nothing to do. As much as the family might grieve and might carry on and mourn the passing of their loved one, there was nothing that could be done to undo that, we had to take them to the cemetery and bury them. There was nothing else to be done. But where's death at this time? At this that has been declared unto us here. Death for the children of the Lord is gone. Death is swallowed up in the victory that we have in seeing our Lord Jesus, going to be with Him eternally, like a body like unto His, a body like unto the angels, and we're with Him forevermore. Where's the memory of death? Where's the impact of death? It's all been defeated by our Lord, hadn't it? It's all been taken care of by Him and in Him. Death is indeed swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? So he would ask, he's asking that from that standpoint. Death, where's your sting? It will have been just a moment, a second, a glimmer. It's past. Death is past forevermore. Where is your sting, death? O grave, where is thy victory? The victory that the grave has had over bodies is that when they're laid there, they stay there. But not anymore. Not anymore at the coming of the Lord for His saints. Grave, you can't hang on to the Lord's children anymore. They are released. They're brought forth by His incredible resurrection power. O grave, where is thy victory? Listen to this. The sting of death is sin. It's like imagining, if you will, maybe we'd imagine this like a scorpion. Death is at hand, and sin brings forth death, James tells us, and the sting of death is sin. And when we sin against the Lord, it brings death indeed, doesn't it? One transgression by Adam put us all into sin and brought death for sure. In the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. You, your wife, and all your children. That's what it meant. It's manifested. We know that that's the case. And so death is like a scorpion, if you will, and it stings. Sin against the Lord, sin against the Lord, sin against the Lord. And sin, that sin upon mankind, brings them of a surety, even just naturally and just looking at us without the intervention of the Lord, on a broad way, just brings us to death. Right? That's how they work together. Oh, death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law of God. The law of God shows us where we are guilty in transgressing our Lord. The law is no Savior, but it tells us in the book of Galatians that the law is a schoolmaster. And sin, the Lord Jesus Himself, listen to this, the Lord Jesus Himself said, if I had not come, if I had not come, they would have no, how is he says that? If I had not come, they'd have no cloak for their sin. Or the cloak would still be on it, it wouldn't be revealed. But He came to take the cloak off of sin and to reveal sin. Because He is the Word. And what is contained in the Word of God, the law of God, and what's it show us to be? Guilty. We're guilty of sinning and transgressing against our Lord and our Creator over and over again. The strength of sin that brings forth death, that draws all into death, the strength of sin is the law. And the law is a good thing. The Lord shows us that in the book of Romans, that the law is a good thing because we need to see that we're rebels and disobedient against God. And we need a Savior. We need something to take care and pay for our sins. Someone, the Lord Jesus. So He declares here, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin in the law is the law. And in regards to these sins, for the children of God, these sins are paid by Jesus Christ. covered by His blood and washed away. That's what He's done for His people. But thanks be to God, which giveth us that victory, the victory. Death is swallowed up in victory, verse number 54. Giveth us the victory, how? Through whom? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the victor, the conqueror of death and sin and the grave. And by His power, by His imputing power, He takes His righteousness, He takes His payment, He takes His salvation, and He gives that unto sinners like you and me, His children, and makes it to where we are indeed completely and fully saved by our Lord. The resurrection, is it important? It sure is. The resurrection, all parts of the gospel are imperative, including the resurrection. It is needful. It is needful, needful indeed. So we see here, let's read it again. So when this corruptible, verse 54, shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? The redeemed, resurrected say. O grave, where is thy victory? The saints changed and carried up into glory to be with the Lord. The sting of death is sin. Sin is paid for by the Lord Jesus, and death has been defeated by the Lord Jesus for His people. And the strength of sin is the law, and the law has been fulfilled by Jesus, imputed to His own. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory indeed through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 58, because of all that, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't be weary in well-doing. As the brother said, keep on, do good till the stars fall, and do good again. And obedience to the Lord, and following the Lord, and cleaving and holding to those things of our Lord. He's going to go on next, and we've come to the close of this book in chapter 16. And so he's going to, as it is with the apostle, he comes to the last chapter as it's divided up in our day and gets to that salutation, that closing out of the book. He's just going to rapid fire a couple different things. He's going to talk about, there's going to be just several different points and pieces from which we get our doctrine and pieces of that we have to, on operation and things that we should do and pursue. And so, Lord willing, we'll take up and look at those next time. All right? The resurrection. I wanted to take this chapter and kind of slow down with it because there's different facets, pieces, and parts of it that to rush through it is just not a good thing. And so I hope it's been a blessing to you.